welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone's having an absolutely terrific day today, and I have to say I am very, very pleased and impressed with the entire rally yesterday in Virginia. A lot of people emailed me up. I mean, the whole thing went on without incident. Tens of thousands of people showed up in unison, made a huge, bold statement. It's funny. Antifa gets spooked. They don't even show up because they're so scared. I mean, you guys got guys walking around with 50 caliber Barretts. I mean, this is America. I mean, I love it. It was great. It's fantastic. And I mean, no violence, no riots, no fights. One lady apparently got arrested for repeatedly putting a mask on and running around. But from what I can tell, she was not a pro Second Amendment person. She looked like she was an agitator, dressed by her appearance and her clothing and everything else. Now, that's just my opinion. Other than that, no incidences. But what's been ironic, I just want to bring this up, is how almost every single media outlet has tried to figure out some way to demonize this situation that happened yesterday, where there were no fights, no riots, no beatings, no muggings, no people throwing urine and feces on one another. And it's ironic because every single news outlet's tried to refer back to the Charlottesville rally in 17, where there was allegedly these white supremacists there that started all these issues. And then I saw this article from Huffington Post, absolute liberal, just garbage. And it went on to say, it said, the original point of the demonstration was lost amid the threat of violence that was brought up days before the protest began, when neo-Nazis allegedly plotted to open fire on the rally, which forced Governor Northam to declare state of emergency, and hundreds of gun-toting men from the area were bussed in by the militia to show their presence. And I just laugh because almost every mainstream media outlet's paired to the exact same thing, because they don't have anything to talk about. Nothing happened. So now they have to say, well, there were three men that were arrested in Georgia last week that were neo-Nazis that allegedly were planning to go to the rally, but got stopped before they did anything, and by the FBI. And of course, we know the FBI's never set up anything before. They've never set up any false flag operations before. And then Northam comes out today now, and he goes, I'm so happy with my law enforcement. The team successfully de-escalated the volatile situation, and today passed without incident. Which just made me chuckle. And also, too, is ironic because they had a no-drone policy. And there's videos now that have surfaced from telescopic video footage from buildings far off that weren't restricted. And there were dozens of snipers on every single rooftop. Not dozens on every one, but spread out. The one rooftop, there were 8 snipers with spotters. Another rooftop had 3. Another rooftop had 3. Another rooftop had 2. Another rooftop had 3. I mean, just all over the place, where they were waiting for any incident they could to try to pop off. And this is how arrogant these Democrat communists are up in Virginia now. Democrat lawmakers, including House Speaker Elaine Corn and Senate Majority Leader Dick Schlaw, told AP the rally would not impact their plans to pass gun control measures. They still are pushing the red flag gun law, universal background checks, and one gun purchase a month per limit. So if these guys really are this inept and this stupid, and they're really planning on doing this, even what they saw yesterday, and the irony about this whole thing is this. The government is allegedly supposed to be by the people, for the people. So when you have a rally with tens of thousands of people that are Virginia residents that show up and demand that these bills don't pass, and then these hardcore communist lawmakers still say, we're going to pass these bills, it shows you it's not about gun control, it's not about protecting lives, it's not about safety, it's not about what their constituents want, it's simply to push the agenda from the people that have told them at the top to push the agenda. But again, I commend everybody that went out to this rally. I wish I could have been up there. Really, really, really good turnout. Really, really safe. Really handled well. Very proud to see it, Dad.
You know, the arrogance of the lawmakers in Virginia it absolutely blows my mind. But we've got to understand something, guys. You know, there's a lot of people in the state of Virginia. I mean, there's probably, you know, tens of millions. I'm not even sure what the exact population is. I'm trying to look it up right now. But the craziest part about it is that, you know, here we have a problem. You know, even though we have 25, 35, 40,000, 50,000 people show up, nobody really has an exact count, then nothing happens. The government completely ignores the will of the people. And what we have to understand is this. About 1% of the people who wanted to go actually went. And so you're looking at millions would have showed up. Millions. And they know that because they know only about 1 out of 100 people call the legislatures. Only about 1 out of 100 people has anything to do as far as trying to correct things. And so what ends up happening is it's a cross-section. Now, they should have known as a cross-section that it had to be pretty doggone accurate. And this is the thing that bothers me more than anything else, Austin, is that these people basically get out there and they become elected officials and then they get corrupted. And when they get corrupted,
8 million.
They basically – 8 million. Okay, there you go. 8 million people in the state of Virginia.
8 million people in Virginia.
Well, that means if you look at 200, let's say 25,000, 1%, you'd be looking at 2.5 million. That means almost a third of the population, fourth of the population showed up for this rally in aggregate as far as statistically. And so that's a pretty big step. And so this is what we have to understand, guys. This government in Virginia needs to be replaced. And guys, listen to me if you're in Virginia, and I'm preaching to the whole country right now, and I'm really preaching to Florida right now. This election in 2020 has to be an overturn of the communist agenda to the best of our abilities. We've seen that we can overwhelm the Diebold election machines because of the amount of precincts if we vote in aggregate. Now, if we don't show up to vote, they can go ahead and manipulate the numbers and they can break into these systems. I mean, they had a computer hacking test a few years ago, Austin. It took 90 minutes for these hackers to break into the databases of these voting machines to change the totals. 90 minutes. That was it. So we have a lot of people who work for the government, CIA, et cetera, FBI, CIA, government agencies, Mossad, who have the ability to break into these doggone systems and at that point change the totals. This is one of the reasons when George Bush was president, he outlawed exit polling in national elections. He did this. And he said you couldn't do that anymore because he said it was skewing the election vote in the West, on the West Coast. No, it wasn't. It was verifying the vote that was taking place. In other words, if you had one precinct vote overwhelmingly for Donald Trump and it was 90% vote for Trump, also that precinct shows up, they've all voted for Hillary after the exit polls show that it was 90% for Trump. It sets up a reasonable doubt that the machines were hacked with. People say, wait a minute, something happened here. So George Bush had to go in, and he had to change that. He had to basically go in and basically say no exit polling on national elections. But on these local elections, they don't have the manpower or the computer skill set to do this. Here's the article from Newsweek. I got it posted on our website. Hackers breach U.S. voting machines in 90 minutes in DEFCON competition. 90 minutes. Broke into it. And they could change the totals any which way they wanted to change them. And nothing could be done to stop it because it would look like it was the regular election cycle. But we've got to go out in the aggregate as constitutionalists, as conservatives, as patriots. Now, notice I'm not putting a label on there as a Republican or as a Democrat because I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to label us. We're constitutional, patriot, basically loyalists to the Constitution. That's who we are. And that's what we have to be. We can't allow ourselves to get caught up in partisan politics. Now, mind you, it's very difficult to get a third-party candidate elected. It's very difficult. So you have to think through that before you vote third-party. Because if you have a person who's running against an incumbent, you know, in a primary or in a major election or whatever, you've got to realize that just maybe that person, you need to vote for them, whether they're Republican or Democrat or Libertarian. But you got to think through it. If they have no chance of winning, you got to vote for the least evil candidate. How awful does that sound? This is the same garbage they did to us with Trump and with Clinton. But we've got to do it this time because there are going to be a lot of people that are going to be going into this 2020 election now in Central Florida, in Virginia, who are trying to unseat these Democrats. And it's so important that we get behind them in the aggregate and get these communists out of office. Remember, the same thing with their Cortez, the one out of New York. She answered a help wanted ad to run for congresswoman. And she went through, there were 10,000 applicants, and she actually won this. And she was backed by a really strong communist group to push her into power. This is what they're doing all over the country with these elections, to try to sway the entire country over to their way of thinking. It's a slow burn takeover of the United States via communism. You know, yesterday I read an article or a quote from Chuck Baldwin. He was talking about how the Mossad was infiltrating the government of Virginia, and, you know, and how 5 million people had been killed by the Mossad since the formation of Israel. Now, I don't know where he got the 5 million number from. I'd have to ask him that. I'll have to give him a call and find out. But, you know, I've gotten blowback because I read that article from Chuck Baldwin. And I'm like, what the heck? Why am I getting blowback? Because I'm quoting somebody. Guys, let me share something with you. When we start talking about certain topics, not everybody's going to like what we're talking about, and not everybody's going to agree. But if we can statistically document stuff that we're telling you and show you by research that this is real, the vast majority of the population will at least think about it. Now, they may not agree with you. I mean, I've got an article that I wrote on aspartame. It's called Aspartame, a Chronicle of Crime. I wrote the article almost 30 years ago. It's got over 100 clinical references in the article. It's posted on our website. And I can give it to people, and they still drink diet sodas. They don't care. I can send them 300 to 500 articles and clinical research studies done on vaccinations, and they still vaccinate their children. But here's what happens when you do this and you talk to them about this. You plant a seed, and then somebody else plants a seed, and somebody else plants a seed. Yesterday, I met an old friend of mine who used to take karate classes with Austin back in the 90s, and a great guy. His name is Renard, and he told me that they were no longer doing vaccinations on their three-year-old son that they had had enough of. They'd done enough research on it. They weren't going to do it. They'd done the first set, realized how bad they were, and said no more. And it was because of the seeds that were planted by a friend of his named Brad, who's also a friend of ours, who basically worked together with all of us together in aggregate to try to help people individually to see the truth about all of this stuff. And we know right now we got a virus that's coming in from China. It's bad. And I haven't talked about it on the show, but as this virus spreads, you know, anxiety raises in China and overseas. It's a respiratory virus. This is from Wuhan, China. Face masks sold out. Face masks sold out at temperature checks at airports and train stations. Here we go again. Became the new normal as China strove Tuesday to control the outbreak of a new virus that has reached four other countries and territories and threatens to spread further during the Lunar New Year travel rush. Anxiety grew both at home and abroad after Chinese government expert Yang Nissan confirmed fears on television late Monday that the new type of coronavirus could spread from human to human. Six people have died and 291 have been infected in China. Now, if they're giving you these numbers, they're much, much higher. It's probably 291,000 have been infected, have been basically transmitted, or they wouldn't be doing this with airports and hazmat suits. So that's spraying these airports with disinfectant. Now, you can see that. I posted this article also at the Health Master's website. So here's what we need to realize is if you're going to be in an environment where you're around people, there's several things you have to do, and I try to cover this every single year, and I want to cover it right now. Here's an article I'm posting. Vitamin D could stop colds or flu. Vitamin D supplements could spare more than 3 million people from colds or flu each year, researchers claim. Now, the reason it does this is vitamin D is the switch that attaches itself to the white blood cell or to the macrophage in the body and turns it on. It's like a little plug-and-play thing that you put into the VCR or an old video game that you used to play. This vitamin D plugs into the macrophage and switches it on so it can go around and kill things that are invading the body. That's why D3, K2 are absolutely critical this time of the year. It's one of the reasons that vitamin D is so essential during the dark parts of the year when we have overcast and chemtrails and clouds and shadows and nobody can make vitamin D with their body because they're not getting any sunshine. So important we all remember this because, guys, the D3, K2 right now, you should be taking one of those a day, especially if you live in a climate where you're getting no sun. I take this stuff on a regular basis here in Florida. Even though we get a lot of sun down here, we used to get a lot of sun. Now we get a lot of chemtrails. But reality is this. If you can't activate the macrophages, then what happens is those macrophages flip on a message sending out what's called a cytokine. And these are chemical messengers sent by one macrophage to another macrophage saying, hey, look, I need help here. I can't kill this virus because I can't turn on. I don't have any vitamin D. So I need one of you guys to come help me. Now, this cytokine basically triggers other macrophages to come there. If they cannot turn on, they flip on the cytokine switch too, and it causes what's called the cytokine storm in the body. This causes massive congestion and inflammation. This is one of the reasons these kids have encephalitic screams when they get vaccinated and their body can't handle the onslaught of toxins that are put into the body because the macrophages aren't functioning properly because they can't handle the onslaught from a vaccination full of mercury and fetal cells and aluminum and everything else, peanut allergies, peanut oil and everything else they put in these vaccines. So the body overreacts. It hyperstimulates the cytokine reaction, causing a cytokine storm, causing brain swelling, and it can also cause inflammation and filling of the lungs with fluid. The cytokine storms are what killed almost every person in World War I when the massive flu outbreak happened, that the swine flu outbreak went from the United States into Europe into the soldiers in these trenches, and they died by the millions. By the millions, these people in this, around the world were dying from this. Now, the reason this happened was because of D3. And they found this out later when they did the autopsies. You have to have D3 in your body. So if we have a new SARS epidemic coming out of China and it hits the United States, which it probably will, what's going to happen? They're going to be pushing flu shots, SARS shots, everything else. That's not what your body needs. Your body needs to be strong. So here's the protocol. Iodine every single day, potassium iodide, our nascent iodide capsules, one a day. D3, K2, one a day. Vitamin C, 4,000 to 6,000 milligrams a day. If you start getting congestion in your lungs, increase it. Vitamin C is the best thing I've ever seen for getting rid of congestion in the lungs. These products have to be taken every single day right now. And if you go to the healthmasters.com website, you can get them there and get a high-quality product. Now, I'm not so much pushing the Healthmasters products right now as I am giving you guys advice as far as what you need to do with this SARS thing coming out of China again. Because what they're going to do with one of these doggone bioterror attacks or whatever they turn this stuff into is they're going to declare medical martial law. And they're going to say that you have to stay inside of your house or you have to be quarantined or you have to go to a FEMA facility or whatever's going to happen. Sooner or later, these clowns are going to do this. They're not going to nuke us. That's not going to happen. Nuclear war is not going to happen. I'm telling you that, guys, that right now. There may be an isolated incident where the media says, hey, somebody nuked so-and-so, but again, it may just be another lie, or they could detonate a dirty bomb, a regular bomb, with some uranium or plutonium, and they'll test positive, but they're not going to go in and destroy the infrastructure. It's taking them too long to put the 5G in place. It's not going to happen, but they will use biologicals. I'm telling you that, guys. Right now, it will be a biological war, and this is what they want to do to all of us. Now remember, not everybody's going to die. It's all going to be determined by their immune system. It's so critical that we all get that. It's going to be determined by their immune system. We know when you get the flu shot, in many cases, you come down with the flu. That's just statistically proven. And the people who take flu shots 3 years in a row over the age of 50 have like 5 times the risk of senile dementia because of the mercury in it. So they're pushing all of these drugs because they can make money off of you, they can make you sicker, they can give you more medication and generate more revenue. You think, it can't be that mercenary. Gosh, guys, it's that mercenary. One more thing, this is so important. I'm going to tell you this again. You can't be taking calcium supplements if you're a guy. It's so important that you understand that. Plus, you got to be drinking distilled water. I have another good friend of mine, and I love this brother. He's a great guy. And he had to go have another head, have a stent put in. And he's been having chest pains. And he takes supplements. The problem is he wasn't drinking distilled water. When you don't drink distilled water, you put a lot of inorganic calcium into your body. And that stuff gets into your bloodstream and it gets into your arteries. It causes hardening of the arteries. A great book that was written, it's not 100% clinically accurate, but it's a good book to read. It's called The Shocking Truth About Water with Dr. Paul Bragg. It was written back in the 60s or the 70s. You can pick it up online for free. And it talks about the importance of distilled water. Distilled water is critical to maintain your health. That's why you need to get one of the distillers that we have at Health Masters, because these distillers take all that calcium out of the water. And I've told you this once, I'll tell you it again. Watch the video I did on me cleaning my distiller and taking the stuff out of the distiller, these chunks of calcium in sheets and breaking it up in pieces. You could hear it on the microphone. This is the stuff that builds up in your arteries. It causes them to close. It causes hardening of the arteries. That's why it's called hardening of the arteries. The arteries get lined with calcium. That's what happens. So I cannot emphasize to you the importance of drinking distilled water. Don't drink mineralized water. It's the worst thing you can drink. Drink distilled. I can't say anything else more about that. But guys, stay really frosty right now with your health. get as much sunshine as you can, take your D3, K2, take your iodine, take your vitamin C every single day. And when you go in the public places, get our colloidal silver, when you get home, and take a Q-tip, or keep it in your car, you can do it like this too, take the Q-tip, dip it into the colloidal silver, and wipe the inside of your nose out. So important, it kills all of these viruses. I do that like 3 times a day, and I'm like the one in the family that stays healthy all the time, because I'm so careful. And wash your hands whenever you go in public. Don't touch toilets. Don't touch toilets. Don't touch the handles on sinks. Use a paper towel. They're so nasty, and they got all these viruses on them. Wash your hands. Get the paper towel before you wash your hands if you have to touch the dispenser, and use the paper towels. Dry your hands off with the paper towel. Close the sink off with the paper towel. Open the door to the bathroom with the paper towel and throw the paper towel away. Don't touch the handles of the doors. Don't touch anything, because 80% of the people don't wash their hands when they use the toilet, and that everything's got feces on it, fecal coliform. So make sure you wash your hands on a regular basis. You don't have to use soap, but you've got to use running water. That's so important, because it'll rinse the hands off. Now, if you get grease on your hands or something like that, yeah, okay. Now, the other day, I was shooting. I went through about 250 rounds of 45 on Saturday with Sharon. I took her over and did some training with Sharon, my wife. She's got a new 9mm, and I wanted her to run a couple hundred rounds through it. I ran a couple hundred rounds through the 45, about actually several 45s that I have. And what I did is I washed my hands with soap and water after that because of gunpowder residue. All right, because it's going to have lead in it. So it's important when you do stuff like that, then you use soap and water. Then you use some lotion or whatever on your hands to keep them drying out. But when you wash your hands 3 or 4 times a day, unless you're dealing with something like gunpowder residue or oil or grease or whatever, just use running water, and that'll clean your hands off. You don't have to lather them up and basically strip all the skin from the oil. So important. So a couple of things you have to do there. And if you're around somebody who's sick, the other day, and my TV set couldn't get my TV set to program properly. The guy that I use for that is a friend of mine. He comes over, and he's a good friend. I said, hey, can you come over and help me do this? He said, well, I'm really sick. I said, okay. So I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I've got a set of sliding glass doors in my living room. Now, guys, I really did this. Listen to me. I said, his name's Carl. He's a great guy. And I said, I'm going to open the sliding glass doors. The remote will reach to the TV, which is 10, 15 feet away. I want you to stand outside, if you don't mind, please, and not bring this stuff inside of the house, and sneezing and coughing and hacking and all this other kind of stuff. He said, fine, no problem, I understand. And so he did. And so it was fine. But just take little precautions like that. If you're sitting in church and somebody's coughing up a lung behind you, and they're about to die, you need to get up and move. They don't even need to be in church. You don't need to be in that fallout all the whole hour while you're in church. Just get up. Just don't say anything. You're not saying anything, but they already know they're sick. Why would you say to them, why are you in church? You're sick. They know they're sick and they're in church. They already know they shouldn't have been there. Okay? No point in starting a conflict in church. Just get up and move. Or better yet, gosh, I can't believe I'm going to say this. Better yet, if you got that stuff running through the town and you walk into the churches all over the church, just get up and drop your money in the offering plate by the door and just watch it online. Just stay out of that environment. Don't get – years ago, Austin and I went to the Florida State National Championship game in Pasadena, and we were on an airplane, and we were flying out there. And some lady was behind us, or some guy was behind us. I think it was a lady. And this is, they were like from India, and they were coughing up a lung, and they weren't even covering their mouth. And I looked at Austin and I said, Austin, I'm going to say something to these clowns. And he goes, no, that is all right. I'm all right. I said, well, I want to breathe it. But I didn't say anything. Then coming home the following day or 2 days later after the game, Austin's sick as a dog. Sick as a dog. One of the sickest places you can be is in an airplane with somebody coughing up a lung with that air being recirculated. So just be really careful if you're going to go into public areas. If there's some kind of viral contamination going on and it's all over the news, there's a good probability you need to stay at home, take your vitamin D3, your iodine, and your vitamin C, and just chill out and swab your nose and be done with it. You think, well, gosh, Ted, this sounds ridiculous. I didn't say it didn't sound ridiculous. I'm saying I'm trying to keep you alive because I love you and I prayed for you today and I want to keep you healthy. And that's what I would – and the same thing when you go to church. Everybody wants to shake everybody's hands, okay? I'm okay with that. Just go wash your hands before you go to the service, because what's going to happen is you're going to touch your face, you're going to touch your eyes, you're going to touch your nose, you're going to touch something on your face, you're going to spread whatever you have all over your hands. I always get up, I shake everybody's hands, I go to the bathroom, I wash my hands, I go back down and sit down, and sometimes somebody will shake my hand going back in. I'm like, oh, God. Back to the bathroom, I go, wash my hands again. You say, well, come on, Ted, that sounds ridiculous. I know it sounds ridiculous, guys, but, you know, I've learned you've got to take care of yourself. It's so important to get our immune system protocol booster as quickly as you possibly can. And if you start getting a sore throat, you can take some astragalus. You can take four of those like twice a day. Usually it knocks out the sore throat like 95% of the time. But if you're over the age of 40 years old, guys, and you're taking astragalus, you've got to take prostate support with it. Really, really important. And be careful with Sudafed, because Sudafed will massively inflame and enlarge the prostate. I mean, I have a friend of mine who's dead now. May he rest in peace. And he was a medical doctor. And he told me that he had guys who had taken so much Sudafed, they had to be catheterized in order to urinate because their prostate had swollen shut like that. They couldn't get anything through the urethra. Be really careful with Sudafed inflaming the prostate. So if you ever take things like astragalus or Sudafed, you've got to really load up on the prostate support. And I'm talking like four of them twice a day. And guys, if you're over the age of 50 or 40 and you got difficulty getting up in the middle of the night and you're having to urinate all the time, you need to be on prostate support, 4 to 8 a day. And you'll be amazed at how quickly it works. And I want to go into that right now, because a lot of people right now are listening who are going to have health issues because of the flu and cold season coming out right now with this weather. Please take care of yourself. Austin, what do you think?
That's really well said. And I mean, that's the other thing too, you said about the antibacterial soaps. I try to actually actively avoid a lot of those soaps. Even if I use neat soap, I like to use regular soap. The reason why is the antibacterial soap, as you guys have probably known from the shows we've had before, it has the triclosan in it, which is basically the antibacterial compound. Not only has the FDA already said that they don't know what it does from a health standpoint as far as long term, they've also have shown that it can actually cause a mutation and a growth of bad germs and bad bacteria, because they actually become almost antibacterial resistant, if that makes any sense. So a lot of those soaps, they're not what you think they are. The same thing with the hand sanitizer. See, people use the alcohol hand sanitizers all the time. The issue is your hands have natural bacteria on them all the time. They cover your skin. It basically keeps your skin sealed, so to speak. And so when you start going in, you start rubbing your hands in alcohol all day, and you start rubbing your hands in antibacterial soap all day, you strip all the oil and all the positive bacteria off your hands, the same way that works in your digestive system, your digestive tract, where we do the probiotics. When you go on antibiotics, if antibiotics knock out all the bad stuff, including the good bacteria. That's why it's so important, if you do go on antibiotics, use a high dose of the probiotics that we have, and you either use the 30 billion or the 100 billion, or if you really want the 350 billion, the big one, which is actually rated at time of packaging to be over 600 billion CFU, colony-forming units. So those things are to think of. Dad's exactly right on that. Wash your hands the best you can. And I mean, sometimes I'll be honest with you, I'll be kind of rude and not shake people's hands if I'm really not under feeling the situation, if people are getting sick, or I'll give them basically a fist bump. I do that a lot as well. The reason why is I get it in church, especially in Baptist church. Everybody wants to shake everybody's hand and hug each other all the time. That's just a no for me, especially when everybody's sick. It's not that I'm being rude. It's not that I'm being condescending. It's that when you see people coughing in their hands and, you know, coughing up a lung in their hands, and then all of a sudden the pastor says, oh, everybody needs to, you know, shake each other's hands, and they stand right up and start shaking everybody's hands after they literally just cough saliva into their hand with bacterial virus into it, you're kind of sitting there going, guys, I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. If you're not feeling good, stay home. I can't tell you how many times we kept the kids home from church, or we let the kids stay home with, you know, mom and dad, and we go to church or something like that. But I mean, when you know everybody in the nursery is getting sick, and everybody in the church is getting sick, and everybody likes to shake hands, and nobody wants to wash their hands, use some common sense. It's best just to watch it at home online and have a Bible study at your own home. We've done that many a times. I'm just giving you some free advice right now on that, because this is how stuff spreads regularly, and people that just continually go out in public when they're extremely sick and cough and hack and touch on everything drives me up the wall. That's why in our family, we're the same way. If you get sick, you get quarantined to your room. This is it. You get food, you get water, you go to the bathroom, do whatever you want, but you're quarantined. You're not running around the house. You're not touching everything in the kitchen. You're not jumping in all the vehicles. You're not snotting all over the house. It's nasty, and that's how everybody gets sick in the house when you don't do that. Also, too, in other news, also sleep is very, very important. That's another one that everybody needs to remember. I'm bad about this sometimes. I'll continue to go and push myself and not get adequate sleep. But sleep is crucial for the immune system and crucial to keeping your body recovered and in good health. And on top of that, it keeps you in better shape. It helps you maintain more muscle mass. It also helps you keep body fat off further. There's a research study that came out a little ways back. It was published in the JAMA of International Medicine and found exposure to artificial light while sleeping can influence weight gain in women. This is the first study to find such an association because, as most people know, a lot of times people fall asleep with the television on. I mean, I don't understand why, but that's what some people do. Or they have lights on in the living room, in the kitchen, they leave lights on. And the problem with this is the researchers from the National Institute of Environmental Health aim to determine whether exposure to artificial light could influence the prevalence and risk of obesity. And so the research team analyzed questionnaire data from 43,722 women aged 35 to 74 that were enrolled in the sister study, a cohort study that studied risk factors for breast cancer and diseases. Each woman had no history of cardiovascular disease or cancer. They were not shift workers. They were not daytime sleepers, and none of them were pregnant. The questionnaire was given to women basically asking on their sleeping habits. Did they sleep with no light, small night light, light outside the room, or light or television on inside the room? And the researchers gathered measurement for height, waist, hip circumference, weight and body mass index all at the start of the trial. They also asked the participants to provide a self-report on weight both at baseline and after a five-year follow-up. Using all the information gathered, the researchers were able to study obesity and weight gain in women exposed to artificial light at night and women who reportedly slept in completely dark rooms. Now here's the funny part. At four categories, those who slept in complete darkness, those who slept with a small nightlight, those who had light on outside the bedroom, and those who slept on with a television regularly or light in the room. The findings showed that the women who slept with a light on or television on saw the greatest likelihood of gaining weight by a landslide, with 17% increased chance to gain at least 5 kilograms or 11 pounds over the five-year period. Those who slept with a small nightlight did not gain any weight. Women who slept with lights on in the other room had a very modest effect, only about 3% increased weight gain. And basically, those that didn't have any light on didn't have any increase. So the reason why I bring this up is because a lot of times people get in the habit of falling asleep with the TV on, falling asleep with lights on, and falling asleep with your Wi-Fi router and your repeaters on a regular basis. That's also a no-no. There's so many times that I've talked to people that have had issues with sleep, and they'll even start taking the melatonin. And they'll say, hey man, I'm taking the melatonin, I'm sleeping better, but I'm still constantly like getting up. And I'm like, well, are you going to the restroom? And they're like, no. I said, okay. So, you know, I told my buddy that. I said, it's not your prostate then. And he said, no. I said, well, what's your Wi-Fi router? Well, yeah, I got a Wi-Fi router in my bedroom for Wi-Fi. And I said, in your bedroom? He goes, yeah, in my bedroom. It's under my TV. And I said, shut that thing off. And he said, really? I said, shut it off. I said, shut it off. I said, that Wi-Fi exposure all night, I said, your body, your brain, your pineal gland sees it as light because you basically have all these different wavelengths, all this Wi-Fi radiation exposure floating around the room all the time. And I've had so many people go, oh, Austin, that's nuts. That's a conspiracy theory. You're absolutely ridiculous with that. And I said, okay, that's fine. I'm completely ridiculous with it. Turn it off for a week. Turn it off every night when you get ready to go to bed. Turn it off for a week and tell me how you sleep. And invariably, almost every time somebody's done that, they come back and they're like, dude, I'm really sorry. I'm like, wait, what do you mean? They're like, you're not a crazy conspiracy theorist. I was just kidding. I've been sleeping so much better now that I've turned that Wi-Fi off. And I'm like, yeah, I know. It's just what it is. It's part of what we live in today. We have internet. It's very useful for a lot of things. We need it now because we rely on it. But you don't need it at night when you're sleeping. For example, I'm building my home right now. I've been working on it for like 8 months. Hopefully I'll have it done this year. And I'm having my electricians, my router, my Wi-Fi router, is going up in my attic by my air handler, and basically I'm going to have a repeater down in the kitchen, and then most of this stuff is going to be hardwired in, and as far as for Ethernet plug-in. And so what I'm having is, though, my Wi-Fi router, the one that's going to be doing Wi-Fi and the repeater, they're all going on a dedicated line on an outlet that I'm having a switch control to in my bedroom, so at any point in time of the day or night, I can shut off my entire internet system or just my Wi-Fi router and shut it off. So there's no Wi-Fi radiation in my house whatsoever. I also do the solar board on the roof, which killed my phone service, which is interesting, and a few other things to really just block a lot of that exposure into the house as best as possible. And that's what and you know, if you're not building your own house, it's fine. I had it in my old house. I basically had my Wi-Fi router on a surge protector, and it had a switch on it, a little red switch, so I knew it was on. So I'd flip it off, you know, 9, 10 o'clock at night, we're getting ready for bed. And so that's just something else that I encourage you, because sleep is crucial, especially when stuff is going on right now, like these flu symptoms that everybody's starting to get and everything that floats around and how it's going so rampant. And down here in Florida, Florida can't figure out. We've had so much weather modification now, it literally can't figure out what it's doing. On Sunday, we were in the 80s and it was humid. I woke up yesterday and it was 41. I walked outside this morning and it was 38. Tomorrow's supposed to be like 45. And now this weekend coming up, we're supposed to be back in like the high 70s or 80s again, which it is what it is. It's Florida. I'm used to it. But situations like this with the weather, you got to be really, really careful, because it's so easy to get exposed to very cold weather in the 30s and not even realize it, because you walk outside inside your house, it's 70 degrees because yesterday was 80 degrees. You walk outside and it's 38 now, and you're like, oh my gosh. So just be aware of that. Bundle up. Take supplements. Make sure you're getting adequate sleep, and make sure you're getting adequate sleep. Those things are crucial. And also, too, in other news, I wanted to bring this up because I missed this last week, by the way. We've all been focused on Virginia, which rightfully so. We've all been supporting what's going on up there. Now we're trying to fight what's going on here in Florida. Well, one thing that happened and passed last Friday that nobody wanted to bring up, and the mainstream media was dead silent on it, is that the Senate has now passed the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement. The House handed it to them last year, if you guys remember. The Senate voted on it. They passed it. This is the USMCA, which is basically turning around and completely and totally handing our sovereignty over to a globalist system. And the sad part it was, in the Senate, it was voted on 89-10. Of the 10 that voted against it, just one of them was a Republican. And showing that the same pack of ruling class elite who gave us NAFTA, gave us the UMCA, as they reported in 2018 from the New American, at least half of the men and women standing behind Trump during his Rose Garden ceremony praising the New Deal, where the same career service staff who negotiated the nearly identical provisions in the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which Trump rallied against. So around almost half the same people that pushed and that were the developers of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which was a giant nightmare, which we did not ratify, were the same individuals that drafted and came up with this UMCA, which creates a massive 16-committee free trade commission to manage agricultural, transport, immigration, financial services, telecom, and intellectual property rights. This unaccountable body, which lies beyond the control of the American voter and the elected representatives, can alter the agreement, including tariffs, without the consent of Congress, which actually trespasses the U.S. Constitution. In other words, the Senate just voted to undermine their own authority and prerogatives granted in Article 1, Section 8. And it's very sad to me to see this go through. We've been very vocal about it. And it's funny to me, though. It's just kind of funny. All this stuff's going on right now. Virginia is this hotbed. All this drama's happening. And these guys vote on this thing, essentially in the cloak of darkness. Don't tell anybody about it. And now it's essentially going into law. Just ironic to bring up, at the very least, as we see so much stuff happening. The same thing in Puerto Rico now. Very few people have brought this up in alternative or mainstream media. And I want to bring it up, because I saw a couple articles on it today. The governor of Puerto Rico has now fired the island's emergency manager after the discovery of a giant warehouse full of unused disaster aid supplies from 2017. You guys remember when Trump came out in 2017 and sent all that aid down to Puerto Rico, and the mainstream media said, why is the United States being silent? Why aren't they helping them? And Trump said, I sent them all the aid. They're not releasing it. Of course, they censored him. They didn't want him to say anything. The mainstream media just tried to yell over him like they always do. And I told you guys, I said there was something else that happened with that Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico. And then we started seeing literally over 300,000 Puerto Ricans brought into Florida alone in a year's time, given free housing, free food, free transport, free money, free everything, which has created one of the largest housing booms in Central Florida we have ever seen in recorded history, to the point now that the entire infrastructure of Florida is starting to collapse and the roadways are becoming so congested, not by accidents, not by law enforcement, but by simply so many vehicles on the road now. And you can go almost in any direction now on the toll roads, the 429, I-4, and all you see are 3- and 4-story apartment complexes getting built as fast as they can put them up, because we have hundreds of thousands of more Puerto Ricans coming here because they had no support, they had no supplies, they had no anything. And now we're finding out that all this stuff that was sitting down to them in 2017 got stored in this giant Amazon-style warehouse and was never released to the general population, including water, food, diapers, baby formula, cots, tarps, everything, giant warehouse of it, billions of dollars worth of supplies allegedly. And was it just intentional? I don't see how you can get this many supplies and not distribute it to the general population. And now, so what they're saying is the individual basically that was handling it is basically been fired now. Puerto Rico Governor Juan de Vaz Garin dismissed Carlos Avada, director of Puerto Rico's Office of Emergency Management, hours after the items were found on Saturday. And what's ironic is also, too, remember Trump had given $8.2 billion in disaster aid to help them out, and now they're starting to find out that a lot of those funds are not allocated the way they were supposed to. And, you know, it's so frustrating to see this stuff. We saw the same thing in Haiti. The Clinton Foundation embezzled billions of dollars that was supposed to go to Haiti. I mean, mostly everybody has seen the interviews now with the individuals and the legislators and the lawmakers down there in Haiti that were doing interviews saying, we didn't get anything. We got nothing. We kept being told that the Clinton Foundation was supposed to be bringing contractors and roofers and supplies, and nothing would ever show up. And all of a sudden, like, one truck would show up with a few supplies, and that's all we would get for another week or two. And they allegedly got billions of dollars, yet the Clinton Foundation is still running around. Oh, that's right. According to Trump, the Clintons are good people. You know, they're good people. They need to be left alone. Don't bother them. They're good people. And it really, really just torques me when I see this kind of stuff. And to know what happened in Puerto Rico, what happened to those people during that hurricane, and to know that there was this giant warehouse and full of supplies, and they intentionally kept the supplies from the people, which in turn caused a massive migration out of the country all the way into Florida, all the way into New York, all the way in Connecticut, multiple other states now, with huge swaths of the population that have left and now have entered populations that were never designed to take on that amount of people that quickly, like Florida. I mean, we're one side away from being an island. We're a peninsula. There's no other way to get out of the state except up, but yet we absorb all these people, and we're supposed to just keep absorbing all these people without any infrastructure changes. So it's something to see here, but I wanted to bring that up, Dad, because I've said for years that whole thing in Puerto Rico, there was something else going on behind the scenes, and now we're starting to see there was something very nefarious going on behind the scenes.
Well, it's always the same people who do this. You have to dig deep enough. It's just you're going to find people that have been bribed, money that was misallocated. I think I read one time that the Clinton Foundation got billions of dollars, and the foundation's got billions of dollars, and like 3 or 4 homes were built in Haiti. Now, you know, whether those numbers are accurate, I don't know. I'm just giving you numbers from memory. But it was some ridiculously small amount, and then there was huge child trafficking going on out of Haiti. I mean, this is some serious stuff that's happening, guys. And same thing with Puerto Rico. Hurricanes don't just go over an island and stop and sit there for 3 or 4 days. They don't do that. They don't ever do that. They're directed, they're guided, and then high-pressure zones are put up around them to keep them there. Personally, what I think, my opinion, is that they're going to use Puerto Rico as some type of resort island. Now earthquakes are hitting it like crazy to try to get more people off of it. They're going to have a resort island with huge gambling casinos down there like they wanted to do in Cuba. That's what I believe they're going to do, because the globalists are the ones that loaned Puerto Rico, was it $50 billion that Puerto Rico defaulted on, and suddenly a hurricane hits them, and they start seizing land hand over fist. It's a beautiful place. Oh, my gosh. It's a beautiful island, just like Jamaica is. There are all kinds of beautiful islands in the Caribbean. Problem is, the other people own them. And so if they get enough IMF loans, again, it always goes back to the same people. It's the same group. It's the international banking cartels that are corrupted, that basically are cabalists, Luciferians, I had a guy ask me a question this morning about that, and I said, he said, well, you complain about certain ethnic groups. And I said, I love all ethnic groups. You know, I love all this. I mean, I've got a bunch of friends that, you know, aren't white, okay, in case you guys were wondering. And he said, well, that sounds racist that you just said that. Well, get a life if that sounds racist to you. It's the truth, you know, and it's just, I'm not like that. And it's just that I don't like Satanists. I think they suck. They're horrible. And I will continue to talk about the people who practice Kabbalah, who practice Luciferianism, who rape small children, and if a bunch of a certain ethnic group are involved in that, that ain't my problem. It's just that these sickos are doing this. It's like in France. There was a guy over in France a couple of years ago. I mean, this guy wrote books about all the young children that he had raped. I mean, young children he had raped. And I mean, and nobody said anything. You know, in fact, the article was posted in the New York Times, and it said, a victim's account refuels a reckoning over abuse of children in France. A French author wrote for years about his association and raping of children, and it continued to win acclaim. Now, one of these children has finally spoken out. This guy was named Gabriel Matzneff. He was a French writer, and he long boasted about his sexual encounters with underage partners. I mean, what kind of sicko wants to talk about this crap and see, or even getting involved in it? I mean, but this is what they do. This group of people are always the ones that get involved in all of this stuff and push it because the Kabbalah promotes it. The Talmud promotes it. All of this stuff is promoted and encouraged through some of these organizations and religions. And this is the problem that we run into. We start talking about it. Oh, you're being against this ethnic group. No, I'm not. I'm against everybody that wants to rape a child. I'm against everybody who wants to sacrifice a child to drink its blood. I think they suck. I think they need to go straight to hell, which is where they're going to go. I don't have to try to speak negative stuff over them. That's where they're headed. But guys, it's not my responsibility if certain groups of people are involved with this. And I bring their names into it. He said, you're picking on these people. No, I'm not. I'm picking on the people that are involved in all of this stuff because these guys are a bunch of sickos. That's all they are, a bunch of absolutely sickos. And I want to go right back to what Austin said, too, about people not getting enough sleep. There's another article, another study that was just done that said the average American now is sleeping less than 6 hours per night. That's not enough. It says annual survey reveals adults were sleeping a staggering 47 minutes less than they did in 2018. This is because of a lack of magnesium in the diet, number one, and also because, like Austin mentioned earlier, the Wi-Fi. You've got to get a switch or unplug your Wi-Fi router every night when you go to bed. It's so important because the pineal gland sees this Wi-Fi signal as light, and it won't release melatonin like it needs to. It's so important that we understand that. And also, another thing came out, and it's reported in the Wall Street Journal, schools took away students' phones so they pay attention in class. Now they're dealing with separation anxiety. What the heck? Compromises include letting young people see their devices from afar or to hold them in a locked pouch. Are we so screwed up that we have to be able to see our iPhone from afar? Oh, my iPhone's in front of the class. Oh, I can see it. I'm so happy now. What is wrong with you parents letting these kids get this addicted to iPhones? Or have it in a pouch where you can hold it. I mean, what do you have to have Play-Doh and pet the puppy in the classroom? What the heck? Separation anxiety. Before each class, each day, a high school teacher in Indianapolis grabs a clear plastic bag, fastens it to her waist with a ribbon. The homemade pouch is a repository for phones that are either confiscated or handed over voluntarily by students who don't want to be tempted to tap or swipe during class. She calls it the phony pack. And the magic of the makeshift vault isn't that it keeps the devices out of reach. It's that it lowers students' anxiety by keeping their phones in view because it's a clear plastic bag. What the heck? Smartphones have long been a scourge for teachers and administrators who have employed a range of strict measures to keep them out of the classroom. But it turns out that getting rid of the phones introduced another distraction, withdrawal pains. Guys, what are we doing to our children? Now we have to use a clear fanny pack to put the phones in so that our kids can see them? This is why my rule was kids don't get phones until they're driving. They don't need phones. We didn't have phones when we were kids, and they don't need phones. All it sets them up to do is all kinds of weird stuff. Number one, they're going to look at porn. That's what's going to happen. I'm letting you know that in advance. I've got blockers on the phone. Whatever. They're going to look at porn. It's just what's going to happen. Somebody's going to bring their other phone and have them look at porn. It doesn't make any difference. They got to learn how to regulate that stuff and control it. And you got to talk to them about it, not pretend like it's not going to happen. That's number one. Number two, you've got to make them realize that they don't need me bringing the telephone to dinner with them at home at night when you're trying to have a dinner at home and talking to the family. Put the stupid telephone down. The other night I went out with dinner with Austin. Sharon had a birthday. She was 63 years old. We had a birthday party. We went out. I left my phone in the truck. Didn't even bring it in. I hate that when you go to dinner and somebody's sitting on the phone the whole time not talking to you. It's so important that we don't do that. Don't allow children to get addicted to this mess. It's so important. And folks, listen to me. Don't get addicted to it. Just fast it. Every once in a while, just shut it down and just stop it. Just be done with it. I mean, sometimes I may go, you know, an entire day before I check the news stories to post them on the Health Masters website because I don't want to deal with it. It's too negative. It's just too negative. And then be careful the news that you watch and be careful the shows that you watch. There are so many talk shows that are so compromised. They don't tell you, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. We're sanctified by the blood of the Lamb. They don't tell you any of this stuff. All it is just negative, negative, negative. And when you bring up something like, why did Donald Trump hire all Goldman Sachs officials, you know, to be in the top positions in his administration? And why is it that they seem as though that, you know, he follows the Kabbalah's practice? Oh, we can't talk about that. No. I watched, Terrence sent me a video this morning of a man interviewing a talk show host in Richmond just yesterday. And the guy came up, the talk show host came up and started asking this other talk show host, hey, what the heck, man? Why is it Donald Trump does this? And why is Donald Trump pro red flag gun laws? And why are you not calling him out for this? Why are you not? And all it was, excuse after excuse after excuse. The guy got his antsy as a cat on a hot tin roof who was being interviewed, who was the host. Like, oh my God, I can't turn his microphone off. He's actually videotaping me. And he just immediately changed the subject and starts walking down the street with an entourage behind him. Guys, be careful who you listen to. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. Guys, if they're not Christ-centered and they've got to watch their language and apologize for using filthy language and using God's name in vain all the time, there's a really high probability you probably need to turn that clown off. That's just my opinion on a lot of this stuff, guys. It's so important. But remember, we've got to pay attention to what's happening around us. And here's another one. I'm going to close with this and let Austin take the rest of the show. Greta Thunberg, this weirdo kid who the media has put up as a mouthpiece because they're using the children because it's hard to criticize a child. It's like when they had David Hogg talk about what was going on in Parkland. They put a child up there, and so, oh, I can't believe you're attacking a child. You're attacking a child. Oh, this is a special needs child. You can't attack her. She's a loon. Greta Thunberg tells the world to, quote, start listening to her warnings of climate catastrophe. Swedish climate warrior Greta Thunberg expressed disappointment Tuesday that the world is neither listening or reacting to repeated warnings of impending climate catastrophe, basically saying that nothing has changed since she dropped out of school and began full-time climate protesting. Well, I got a little thing to tell you, little Thunberg. I'm sorry, Austin. Nobody wants to hear anything you have to say. We don't like you because of your attitude, you screaming at us all the time. And secondly, we know the globalists are the ones who push you to the forefront of all of this, and that they're the ones that are basically endorsing you and giving your click count. And once they get done using you, hate to tell you this, but your dad needs to tell you this, your mommy and daddy need to tell you this, is that you're being used by the globalists for a very short period of time, and you're going to go bye-bye. So I hate to tell you this. You shouldn't have dropped out of school. You should have stayed in school. And stop yelling at the rest of us. We already know what's going on, and we were talking about climate change and chemtrails a long time ago. And why don't you address geoengineering if you want to talk about anything?
That's my
little rant for the day, Austin. I love you guys. I prayed for you today. I had the privilege of praying for you. Hope you enjoyed the show. God bless you guys. And remember, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Your footsteps are ordered by the Lord. Guys, it's important that you understand that. We, by the blood of the Lamb, we've been sanctified. Austin, go ahead and finish it up. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. I love you.
Absolutely. Another thing to add on that, too, and this is just a fact. Nobody cares about a 16-year-old's opinion. Let's just be real right now. If they did, they'd allow 16-year-olds to be elected into government positions, but they don't. There's a reason why. Because you're an idiot when you're 16. You may be smart, you may be book smart, you may make decent decisions, but as far as common sense, real-world experience, being involved in things that are actually real, You have none. In most cases, unless you, you know, you grew up really, really, really rough starting, you know, single digit years. But even at that point, at 16, you still are nowhere even near concrete rational thought. Doesn't even hit till you about 21, 22, 23. So nobody cares about a 16-year-old's opinion. That's why when David Hogg came out and was yelling at everybody and telling how we need to give up our guns because he said we need to give up our guns, we literally just chuckled because it was like, dude, just shut up. Like, nobody cares what you think. You're a 17-year-old high school kid. Or is he? That was the other thing that a lot of people were not getting over. This kid was out in California like 3 years before that on that news outlet talking about a surfboard incident. And all of a sudden now he's in school at Parkland 3 years later as a senior, and nobody can figure out what in the world happened, and his dad's in the FBI and everything else. That whole thing with him, I'm not even going to get into all that. I already talked about that enough 2 years ago. But so just aware, be aware, like Dad said. There's a lot going on right now. There's a lot going on behind the scenes. The markets are absolutely going berserk. I mean, we saw palladium, if you guys saw, hit $2,500 an ounce yesterday. Record high for palladium. I've always been a big proponent of platinum and gold and silver. Never cared much about palladium because it's never done much in the past. It's had some spikes. But I wish I would have definitely pushed some money into palladium. It is what it is. I'm not going to touch it now because it's about near its peak. A lot of people are speculating it's going to hit around 3,000 an ounce and begin, because it's basically a catalytic converter proponent, and that's also, too, well, works alongside platinum. But that being said, be aware that the metals market has started to spool up. Remember after 2008, that whole debacle? By 2011, the metals were going berserk. Even palladium just wasn't to this level. Platinum hit $2,200 an ounce. Gold was at $2,000 an ounce. Silver is almost $50 an ounce. All the metals started going berserk. Well, we're coming back into about another 10 to 12 year boom again. Remember that. The metal markets usually roll in 10 to 12 year cycles. So 2021, 2022, you're probably about to start seeing some big movements again in the metal, just my personal opinion. And also, too, make sure you guys are staying prepped, as always. Get some training, get some workouts in, make sure you're exercising, make sure you're taking your supplements, keeping your immune system strong. That's another thing, too. Exercising, obviously not going berserk and massively wearing yourself out for hours and on a day, but getting in 20, 30 minutes of cardiovascular exercise, weightlifting exercise, that also helps to stimulate blood flow, gets toxins out of your body, and helps stimulate and support your immune system. So just a side note on that. Again, thank you for the support of HealthMasters.com. You are the ones that make it capable, make us capable, you know, have this show every day and not have ads, not have commercials, have nothing. And so that's why we do it at healthmasters.com. Thank you for supporting our website. Thank you for supporting our company. Be sure to check on the product of the week, the EyeSight, the last day on sale for 10% off. And also, too, be sure to vote for what you want to see win tomorrow as product of the week. Thank you again. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.